You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia, Simon Fraser University Campus Radio, streaming on the internet at www.cjsf.ca.
Rushamadian. Armenian memory books present accounts of the genocide in the regions they cover, explore its legacies, and document the rebuilding of exilic communities. These books constitute a tremendous resource for scholars in the fields such as history, ethnography, geography, natural history, cartography, demography, genealogy, and art. Mapping the geographical distribution of villages and towns that have dedicated Hushamadians would dot the length and breadth of modern-day Turkey. The exilic communities where Armenian memory books were published span continents.
That's Khachig Muradyan, and this is Alternative Radio. I'm David Barsamyan. This edition of AR features Khachig Muradyan on Hushamadyan, Armenian memory books. April 24th marks the 110th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. I grew up in the 1950s in New York in the shadow of that tragedy. I was surrounded by survivors named Garabedian, Giragosyan, Hagopian, and others, who always spoke of Yergir, the country they were forced to abandon. My mother, Araxi, was from Dubne, a village near Diyarbakir, and my father, Bedros, was from Nibishi, a village near Palu, in what is now eastern Turkey. Their memories, and those of others from the old country, filled my ears, as did their tales of how they escaped death and got to America. I'd listen to their stories in Armenian, not understanding everything, but knowing for them, Yergir was a special place. It was home. Hushamadyan are memory books of a millennial-old civilization, virtually lost, but not forgotten. Our guest today is Khachig Muradyan. He's the Armenian and Georgian area specialist at the Library of Congress, and a lecturer in Middle Eastern, South Asian, and African studies at Columbia University. He also serves as co-principal investigator of the Project on Armenian Genocide Denial at the Global Institute for Advanced Studies at NYU. He's the author of The Resistance Network and the editor of the journal The Armenian Review. He spoke at the National Association for Armenian Studies and Research in Belmont, Massachusetts, in mid-November 2024. The moderator is Mark Mamigonyan. And now, Khachig Muradyan.
Using a map of a village households before everyone was deported or killed during the 1915 Armenian Genocide, we navigated the streets of Havav in Kovancılar, modern-day Turkey, and stopped at a door. A few pairs of worn-out sandals were neatly lined up nearby. The memory map, hand-drawn in New York in 1966, identified the modest house as my friend's great-grandparents' home. A third-generation Armenian-American, and the first in the family to set foot in his ancestral village since the genocide, he froze in front of that humble abode and wept. Moments such as this, frequent as they have been during visits to historically Armenian-populated areas that are now within the borders of Turkey, remain etched in my memory. On these research trips and pilgrimages, we are often guided, as we were in Havav, by Hushamadyans, literally memory books, repositories of the history, geography, and ethnography of ancestral hearths lost to genocide and exile. The displaced do not build new homes. They reenact old ones. the expropriation and deportation of the Armenians from their ancestral homeland in Ottoman Turkey during the First World War, the accompanying massacres and deprivations that killed up to 1.5 million, and the subsequent systematic erasure of thousands of cultural heritage sites that left behind a devastated land and a decimated nation reeling in exile. And as the displaced reassembled, shattered communities and lives in tatters, the longing for home seeped into their labor and often defined it. The literary genre of memory book was born out of the survivors' angst to inculcate in the next generation, who had never seen the old country, the same yearning for those inaccessible geographies tucked behind the borders of the Republic of Turkey. In the introduction to his memory book on Sis, modern-day Kozan in Turkey, Misa Kelesyan writes, "Another decade or two, with the disappearance of the elders who remember our birthplace, narrators of its beauty will no longer exist. And our children and grandchildren, headed in a direction away from homeland and memory, left to the mercy of the wings of fortune, surrendered to the all-consuming floods of foreign shores, would have to prepare for the permanent loss of traditions. Consumed by the aim of preempting this horrible disaster, we got to work and made an effort to instill among Armenians, and particularly among people of Sis, the love of their birthplace." End of quote. In her book, The Generation of Post-Memory, scholar Marianne Hirsch observes, "To grow up with overwhelming inherited memories, to be dominated by narratives that preceded one's birth, is to risk having one's own life displaced, even evacuated, by our ancestors." End of quote. Children of Armenian survivors found themselves in a similar predicament as they grew up in Beirut, Paris, and New York, entangled in stories of a bygone life in their ancestral homes and personal accounts of Medzieren, the great crime. Although decidedly an offspring of the 1915 genocide, the memory book draws inspiration from regional histories published in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, including works about places like Zeytun that captured the imagination of Armenian nation with their resilience and resistance against centralized Ottoman authority and oppression in the 19th century. The genre took shape in the post-genocide exilic life of the 1920s and 1930s, and within a few decades, the Armenian memory book, Hushamadyan, had already become a noticeable phenomenon in the diaspora, in the words of the author of one such book, On the Town of Tomarza, published in 1959. A few words about how this genre sort of picked up. Historian Arshak Alboyadjian's two-volume, 2,500-page opus, Batmutyun Hayots Gesaryo, History of the Armenians of Kesarya, Kayseri, was a genre-defining early Hushamadyan that for decades served as a source of envy, inspiration, and emulation. The book was published in 1937 in Cairo. In an effusive review that appeared the same year in the journal Sion, the then Armenian Patriarch of Jerusalem, himself a prolific and established author and researcher, lauded the work for, quote, "reviving the dead past and reassembling a scattered present," end quote. He called for publishing such histories of all Armenian populated towns and villages lost to the genocide. We need one of these for our own discussions, cascaded across the hundreds of Armenian compatriotic unions in the diaspora, created by and for Armenian exiles from specific villages, towns, and regions. One cannot overestimate the enormous engagement, interest, and sort of envy that some of these early works engendered as, you know, communities, compatriotic unions from different towns and villages wanted to have one of their own as well represented, one such book. The genre became an enterprise. Meanwhile, Alboyajian himself wrote two more memory books, one on Malatya and another on Tokat, had to turn down a request for producing a few others. We hear about this in the introductions of several other volumes. He wrote the introduction for a few and is either credited as the inspiration for or is referenced in many others. Compiling these volumes often requires years of research and outreach. Authors and editors pored over medieval Armenian manuscripts, history books, newspapers, articles, and maps. They interviewed elders and solicited written accounts by mail and through ads in newspapers. The effort took a toll. And I'm quoting here from Antvanik Poladian, who edited a volume on Arabkir. He says, "Sometimes I had to read an entire volume to prepare a one-page biography." He adds, "Let me say, however, that it was easier to concern oneself with the dead than the living. For example, to receive the biography of a teacher living in Syria, I wrote three letters and received it after 4 years." End quote. Not all memory book authors and editors were prolific historians and journalists like Alboyajian and Poladian. Many of them hadn't published much else and embarked on their journey and of writing a memory book, armed with little more than a passion for their native village or town. They often disclosed their shortcomings outright and hoped to make up for what the book lacked in structure, cohesion, and scholarly rigor with the mortar of raw authenticity that embraced its bricks. Others complained about their inability to access sources or visit the towns they were recreating. "Mistakes are inevitable," the author of a memory book lamented, because the work was written, quote, 47 years after the exodus from Kilis, a town in modern-day Turkey bordering Syria, when much information and many valuable documents are forever lost, end of quote. A most moving acknowledgement of limitations adorns the introduction to the memory book on the village of Tsitor in the Garin, Erzurum region. The editor, Vartiter Kocholosyan Hovannisyan, she's one of the very few women who edited memorial books or wrote memorial books, expresses hope that the reader will approach the work with understanding, noting that despite their enthusiasm, most contributors hesitated to accept the invitation to write because, and I quote, "for known reasons, they have received little or no education or are self-taught." But, she continues, "their national consciousness overpowered their feelings of inadequacy." And, I'm quoting again, "with modesty and shaking hands, they picked up the pen." What an inspiring and at the same time heart-wrenching phenomenon. An expression of an Armenian person's, especially an Armenian villager's, venerated virtue of offering their life, their soul, their possessions, and even from what they do not possess. And so she concludes in the introduction, "like my father often says," these are her words, "willy-nilly, we joined the caravan with a limping donkey." The result? A magisterial 364-page memory book published in Beirut in 1972, complete with a mental map of the village, a list of its pre-genocide inhabitants, and another of the descendants of the survivors. The latter also details each person's professions and where in exile they settled. So limping or not, the published memory books are often success stories against massive odds. Wars and conflicts, most notably World War II, disagreements among compatriotic unions and commissioned authors, as you can imagine, and personal circumstances sometimes delayed or even capsized memory book projects. Some authors, like those of the memory books on Kilis and Bardizak, Bahçecik, respectively, became very ill or died prior to the project's completion. And the compatriotic union had to find another editor. In a number of cases, including the two-volume work on Sepastia, Sivas, a memory book on Hüseyinlik, Ulukent, now a neighborhood of Elazığ, and a third one on Tomarza, the principal authors or editors took pride in completing the project despite their advanced age. In the Sepastia case, the journey from conception to completion took 32 years. The author who finally ushered the book to the finish line wrote that he must have survived the genocide for this very purpose. It must have been his way of coping with survivor's guilt. Some 300 published titles, alongside many unpublished ones, and specialized periodicals dedicated to the Armenian populated regions, towns, or villages in the former Ottoman Empire were thus produced in the decades after the genocide, primarily in Armenian. Again, one cannot overstate how significant this drive was. What we have in published form is a fraction of what is out there. Some of these memory books that were not published were entirely dedicated to towns, and therefore there were biographies of these towns and villages. Others were memoirs of the survivor, as well as a memory book of the town and village. And drawers, shelves of families around the world are full of accounts such as this, from some that are just a few dozen pages to others that are hundreds of pages. They offer a window into the history, demography, culture, folklore, art, literature, photography, religion, politics, customs, genealogy, trades, crafts, and flora and fauna in the regions they cover. Similar to, but predating, Yizkor books published in the aftermath of the Holocaust, or histories of Palestinian villages destroyed during the Nakba, Armenian memory books present accounts of the genocide in the regions they cover, explore its legacies, and document the rebuilding of exilic communities. These books constitute a tremendous resource for scholars in the fields such as history, ethnography, geography, natural history, cartography, demography, genealogy, and art. Mapping the geographical distribution of villages and towns that have dedicated Hushamadians would dot the length and breadth of modern-day Turkey, from Smyrna, Izmir, to Giresun, from the coastal town of Giresun to the entire Pontus region on the Black Sea, to dozens of towns and villages near the Syrian border and on the Mediterranean. The exilic communities where Armenian memory books were published span continents. They include Los Angeles, Detroit, Boston, New York, Buenos Aires, Montevideo, Bucharest, Plovdiv, Vienna, Paris, Marseille, Lyon, you get the point. And a closer look reveals, however, that the United States, France, Lebanon, Syria, and Egypt, important 20th century publishing centers of the Armenian diaspora, produced the lion's share of memorial books. The United States and Lebanon have carried this distinction into the 21st century. Memory books and yearbooks dedicated to Kharpert and its surrounding archipelago of towns and villages would easily fill a shelf or two. Kharpert is identified as modern-day Elazığ. The village of Pazmashen alone, with an Armenian population of about 1,500, is memorialized in at least two books, both published in Massachusetts in 1930. Even tiny villages sometimes have entire volumes dedicated to them. Ohu, Bulgurjuk, a village in the region of Palu, comprises a mere 25 households before World War I, yet one of its villagers wrote a 181-page memory book about it. The city of Aintab, home to a thriving and diverse Armenian population of about 30,000 prior to the genocide, boasts half a dozen memory books, including the two-volume 2,000-page Batmutyun Antebi Hayots by Kevork Sarafian, History of Aintab Armenians, a renowned educator, and the 327-page English language version. Now, The memory book had to safeguard what was salvaged and recreate what was lost with an authenticity that authors hoped would allow returnees to one day pick up where their ancestors had left off. Manuk Cizmecian, the author of a memory book on Kharpert, entreats his readers not to forget the town which awaits, and I quote, its children scattered around the world to return, rebuild, and make it flourish for the benefit of civilization, end of quote. All senses needed to be engaged. Authors went to great lengths to describe the vernacular, as well as the sights, the sounds, and scents of the region. The overwhelming majority of memory books include glossaries and chapters dedicated to the local dialects, expressions, and sayings. Toros Madakhjan's Hushamadyan Tomarzai, Memory Book of Tomarza, for example, features a 50-page dictionary. Kalus Trumenya's memory book on Yerzanga, Erzincan, for instance, dedicates a section to the region's climate, even describing the features of the air people breathed, in hopes that the reader, too, could vicariously take in the air of the lost homeland. In the foreword to his father's memory book on the village of Hüsenik, Dr. Hagop Martin Duranian writes, "This book has allowed me to turn back the clock and walk the streets of Hüsenik vicariously, to smell its abundant and fragrant flowers, to drink from the cool and refreshing waters of Set Hasem Spring, to hear the melodious choir of St. Varvar Church, to be moved by Pastor Andreasyan's intelligent sermons, and to be terrified beyond description by the events of June 1915. Authors often employ tools other than the written word. Many thousands of photographs, detailed sketches and drawings, sheet music of folk songs, genealogy charts, and various types of maps are the collective legacy of these volumes. Poladian's work on Arapgir features some 50 pages of sheet music. Manuk Zeron's memory book on the village of Parchanj in the Kharpert region features dozens of sketches depicting village life, games, tools, utensils, and other objects, in addition to a plethora of maps, floor plans, extensive genealogy charts, and photographs. Published in Armenian Boston in 1938 and in English in Fresno in 1984, the book is a veritable work of art and artifact. Now, some authors were brutally honest about the good, the bad, and the downright ugly in the old country. In his memory book on Bardizag, Bahçecik, Krikor Mkhalyan writes about betrayal, intrigue, corruption, and conflict among members of the clergy in the town, and delves into what he refers to as seedy traditions and unhygienic practices. Here's a striking example of the latter. The bathrooms were badly and inconveniently constructed. Behind or on the flank of the house, somewhere away from sight, there were narrow and long passageways, wooden floored, at the deep end of which was a circular or triangular opening on the floor that looked at the bottom, fully exposed, no gutter. All around the village, the narrow alleyways, human waste piled up over days, sometimes months, and smelled. Passersby held their nose from the stench, and the air inside the houses didn't remain clean either. People waited for torrential rain to carry away the waste. A bag over their heads, men would, under the torrential rain, often employ hose to assist the streams of water to complete the cleaning." End of quote. But most memory books err on the side of romanticizing, hyperbole, and window dressing. They often portray an immaculate, idyllic world that was torn away from its native people. John Didion writes, "A place belongs forever to whoever claims it hardest, remembers it most obsessively, wrenches it from itself, shapes it, renders it, loves it so radically that he remakes it in his own image." End of quote. In many Armenian memory books, One can read between the lines the author telling the genocide perpetrators, "You take away our homeland? Watch us remake it into the best possible version of itself and of ourselves." In the introduction to his monumental work on Gesaria, Alboyadjian likens the memory book to the ornate urn carrying the remains of one's ancestors, arguing that every Armenian from the region, whether or not they can read the language, will want to have a book in their home. In the Sis Kozan volume, the reader is invited to, quote, "accept the book as a necessary ornament on their bedside," end quote. And while today many Armenians treat memory books as precious artifacts connecting families to a lost homeland, much like the home key does for a generation of Palestinians who lost their ancestral homes during the Nakba, those who find it difficult to secure copies of out-of-print memorial books or find the language inaccessible have a wealth of options. In recent years, the Armenian Catholicosate in Cilicia and Lebanon has reprinted many memory books, each with a comprehensive index that earlier editions lacked. The Library of Congress and other institutions, like Nasser, hold extensive collections of published Shushamadians and several unpublished ones. Thanks to the efforts of Shushan Yanikomshian Tiger, a proud Aintab Armenian, the Nasser Mardigian Library now boasts a dedicated room for memory books. One can also download digital copies of some of these works free of charge from the National Library of Armenia's website. An increasing number of memory books are now available in English, including Mkhalyan's Bardizak and its inhabitants referenced earlier, Lost Paradise, Memories of a Land and Its People, and Tadem, My Father's Village, extinguished during the 1915 Armenian Genocide. Moreover, the Hushamadian project to reconstruct Ottoman Armenian life richly draws from memory books to offer resources on Armenian populated regions of the Ottoman Empire in Armenian, English, and Turkish. Hushamadian has been, for the past several years now, an absolute beacon for those looking for information about their culture and heritage in the ancestral towns and villages across the Ottoman Empire, and an inspiration to many. As more Armenians make pilgrimages to their ancestral towns, now in Turkey, the memory book leaves the shelf or the bedside and makes the journey back home with them. Meanwhile, from New York to London to Beirut, Armenian youth are embracing the culture and rituals of their ancestral villages and towns, places last inhabited by their great-grandparents. In 2023, I received an email from an Armenian-American couple. "We are getting married this summer," they wrote, "and we'd like our ceremony to reflect the traditions of the towns our ancestors hail from, Gesaria and Dikranagert. Can you assist us with resources?" I identified relevant pages from memory books dedicated to the two cities and sent them the scans. My heart was full. In many ways, our ancestors' journey of return and reclamation is very much alive. In the immediate aftermath of the 44-day war in Artsakh in 2020, tens of thousands of Armenians were forced to leave their homes behind in territory ceded to Azerbaijan. One family decided to take their home with them. The image of the small house mounted on a truck on a highway out of Nagorno-Karabakh embodies the experiences that gave birth to the memory book. For countless refugees and migrants across the globe, carrying their home with them is not an option. But they do carry much that is intangible. They cling to it, cherish it, and claim it. They strive in their own way to recreate home away from home. This talk is dedicated to them. Thank you.
You spoke about heart. And these books seem to